This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Welcome. Am I on? Yes. Sorry. Welcome to Saturday Magazine. It's Joy 94.9's longest running news and current affairs show, and it's coming to you live right here from Melbourne, the world's most livable city, on the world's best LGBTI radio station. You can listen to us on radio, streaming, and of course, podcasts. We bring you an ever-changing mix of local and national news, current affairs, and commentary, all framed within a queer perspective. I'm Macca. I'm here with Tass, Paul, and Fiona. On behalf of Saturday Magazine, I acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet and pay my respects to elders past, present and future. I'd also like to pay my respects and honour the elders from our diverse LGBTIQ communities. Good morning, Tass. Good morning, Fiona. Good morning, Paul. And good morning, Lord Mayor Sally Capp.
Good morning.
How are you? Good morning, everybody.
What's...
Macca, before you continue, in your introduction, you said that we have the Valorous Lord Mayor in the studio.
That's right.
What is a Valorous?
Read it.
Possessing or acting with bravery or boldness. Courageous.
And underneath?
Marked by exhibiting or carried out with courage and determination.
Yes. Being in the public life and being in the public eye is not easy.
Valorous.
Valorous. And...
I think we should just call you Valorous, Sally.
Yes. I've been voluptuous, but not Valorous. But thank you.
Valorous is almost like Valerie or something, isn't it?
Val.
Yeah.
Just Val. Val.
Val.
We'll call you...
Thank you.
You can be Valley Cap.
Valley Cap.
Being in the public eye is not easy. And one of the things we wanted to talk about this morning with Sally is... There's always lots going on in the city of Melbourne and lots of things to talk about, and I can't wait till we talk about the parking. But interested in what are some of the challenges of the job? You know, what are the things that, you know, when you go home at the end of the day, you've had a tough day, you know, I know you can't necessarily be really specific, but some of the real challenges of the job, some of the days when you go home and you go,
this is so hard.
For God's sake, where's the
Did
gin?
I really sign up for
you
this?
You know, where's the gin and tonic?
Do you ever have those days?
I want my feet rubbed or something, you know. Like, you must have... There have got to be days where you go, you know, this joint's a bit strange. tell us about it. Go on.
Well, we're really starting, you know, softly this morning, aren't we?
I know, Macca, we were going to do the sort of what's happening in town first.
Yeah, look,
but you've gone straight for the jugular.
I agree. I have a new respect for people that take on public roles. And one of the things that I found during the campaign, and I've found it since, is that people are so quick to judge and make assumptions. And whether that's about me as a person, whether that's about a program we're running, whether it's about our team. And it's really made me much more sensitive and aware of the fact that most people are genuinely trying their best, or they are proceeding with good intentions. Whether they deliver what you want or the outcome is what you expected, that's another matter. But I've really, taken to a new level. I'm a glass half full person anyway. Mm-hmm. I like to be positive. But the level of public scrutiny and feedback is unrelenting. And I can't read all of my emails. In fact, my team tells me not to, but I do like to check in and just get, you know, it's such a great way to get a pulse. And when the emails finish with, "You are a disgrace."
Isn't that good, isn't it?
You need to be voted out. And they're about issues where it's just not correct. Assumptions have been made or judgments have been made that aren't correct. And I'm encouraging people to ask more questions and find out things for themselves rather than relying on what other people say or other people's opinions, and really dig in. If they're passionate about an issue, then go to that next level to actually find the truth, because
Engage. Underneath it,
you'll find that it's with good intentions. And I'll be the first one to say, I don't always get it right. Our organisation works so hard, we don't always get it right. When we can get feedback that's constructive and focused on how we can be better, that's fabulous. But when it's so negative and personal as well, which it often is, it can be very deflating.
It's dispiriting. I can see that. Yeah. But it also makes it very difficult to take that criticism seriously when it becomes so inflammatory in the way in which it's actually presented. And I've seen, you know, some of my neighbours in my neighbourhood, my local council, who do engage with councillors, and you think, well, actually, if I were in their boat, I wouldn't actually read or even bother replying to your email, because that sort of language, that approach, is just not acceptable. It's not respectful. It's actually not really recognising the complex roles that we all have to play. Mm. We all have to live together, and we have to make it work somehow.
Mm. I agree. And look, you do have to put it in perspective. It takes me a little while sometimes to get there, because, you know, you can be so committed to what you're doing that it does hurt. Mm. And you know, you have your own public persona, so people would look to you for the most irrational reasons to blame you for something. Mm. But I also know that despite those things that happen, and it's always the way, isn't it? The things that are sometimes the hardest aspects also make it the most worthwhile. And when you can turn some of those views around and you can bring people along with you, then it's all sunshine and lollipops. And mostly my job is joyous. And it really is, and that tends to outweigh ultimately some of that negativity.
Maka, you need to describe the T-shirt that Sally's wearing.
Okay, it says, and I'm not sure whether they're thought bubbles or bubbles of joy,
or rings,
champagne
then,
bubbles.
You know, and in the middle of it is, then I found joy, 25 years proud.
What's the background for the T-shirt?
So this was from Radiothon last year. And
last year. What are we doing giving
quality takes time?
That's right.
And our valley mayor at last year's and collateral.
What it was is that there was a particular level of donation and membership where you got a T-shirt and a few other things, and Sally very graciously and generously did donate, so she has the T-shirt.
To prove it. There,
but, you know, I was thinking, you know, when you get those, and in my work, I actually get from time to time some interesting phone calls and emails. And on the odd occasion, and this has caused a bit of a commotion, I actually send the email back to them with the grammar and the spelling correct and give them a mark out of give them a mark out of 10.
Yeah. Maka, you might be able to get away with that in the private sector, but in the public sector it's very difficult to get away with that.
Well, I did it when I was an official of a quango. Is it a quango?
Just an NGO, I think.
An NGO, yeah.
Again, very different.
You should try it, Sally. So just, you know,
I think that might escalate things more than resolve things.
And then you'll end up getting
Then
you'll end up getting all of those shock jocks onto us. We're having a bit of fun already, aren't we?
We are.
In public life, Sally, one of the people that actually get, I think, sometimes the raw deal, or, you know, it's a bit unfair, is the people around us, you know, our family and our close friends, that they, you know, they're the silent, I'll use the term advisedly, the silent victim sometimes. Mm. They see, you know, it's happened to me, it's happened to Tass, you know, where they get attacked or people talk about them, and, you know, you come home and you've had a bad day, and, you know, they might have read something about you or heard something on the radio or whatever, and they're pretty cross because they know, you know, that that's not entirely true, that what's being reported, that, you know, someone's putting a particular spin on it. And that's always a challenge. So I want to say to people, think about, you know, when you attack a public figure, and we don't have unelected dictators in Australia, we have elected politicians, it's voluntary. and, you know, have a bit of just that last bit of insult, hold it back and have a bit of respect, but have a respect for the people around them that have to endure it. And I think about some of the...
Hear, Macca, and I can't disagree with anything that you've said. The only thing that I would say is that what is lacking in our public discourse is a bit of authenticity at
yes.
the moment. And that's what's so refreshing about
yes.
our engagements with you, Sally, is that it is authentic. But I listen to some of the crap that's coming out of Canberra at the moment, and it is just so blatantly untrue.
Like a million fish dying, it's a natural occurrence. Never happened before in Menindee. Mm. It's happened twice now.
But I think
three times.
But to the point you're making, David, it's very much if we can stay focused on the issue rather than getting personal about things. I know my husband's so protective of me and it's so difficult for him because they're situations that he can't control. But also, I'm going to say this, and I'm sure he's listening and he won't really like me telling these stories, but people are very hurtful to him as well. Now, I'll give you a couple of examples. One, when you're the Lord Mayor, your partner has a title as well, so for invitations, and it's normally the Lady Mayoress, but that didn't suit him. So the other options were consort
or regent.
Now, he used to work at the Regent Hotel, which is now the Sofitel, so he thought, I'll go with consort.
Yeah.
But it didn't take very long for people, sort of in a fun way, but it just went
consorting.
On for so long. Yes, you're consorting, or how are you concubine, and a few other sort of names like that. And whilst it was sort of funny at the start, it just became ridiculous. Mm. And so he's now the regent, and proudly the regent.
The regent.
But also even last weekend at the Australia Day events, where and he works so hard with me, he comes to so many events and he's so engaging with people and genuinely interested. And we're at an Australia Day event and somebody called him the handbag, and it's deflating because he's really there. He adds so much value, and he did point out that look, he's not a handbag, but if he was to be a handbag, at least refer to him as the Prada.
Yes,
and tried to make light of it. But the fact is, those little things can really demean people, and it's so frustrating for. You know, when you're genuinely trying to make a difference and you're working hard. And so
it's
I really
just,
take
it's
your
disrespectful,
point.
Isn't it? It is just it is. Disrespectful is. And there's no need for that.
And, you know, I think about...
We've had this conversation previously, Macca. People say, oh, aren't you just being politically correct?
No.
And my response to that is, no, we are being respectful.
Mm. It's about respect. You know, I have to say, sometimes, for me, it is about the policy... people who know me politically often get a bit confused with who I am. I'm not confused. It's about the policy. But, you know, when I see politicians behaving badly, and it doesn't matter whether it's, you know, going to Hong Kong, whether it's lying about drought, you know, whether it's talking about franking credits, you know, let's actually deal with the issue. But sometimes... You know, the sheer hypocrisy and the bald-faced lying, you know, you can't but help introduce an element, unfortunately, and I admit to this, an element of personality into it. Because actually that personality is what informs their ability to do their job.
Mm.
But don't attack, you know, their partners and their family and their friends. Mm. You know, I know lots of political partners and they do it tough. Right, you know, they're often, you know, they're absent bosses of the house, you know, the man or the woman of the house is away, and they're running the house, they're raising the kids, you know, they're often working themselves. It's a tough gig.
It is tough,
and we need to actually understand that, and then just think for a sec when people go really feral on this. One thing those people all have in common, you know what? They couldn't do it. They actually wouldn't be able to do it.
Hmm.
Sally, I've got quite a list of things that you've been doing in the last couple of weeks.
Oh,
I mean, the list
really?
Just goes on and on and on. Mm. I mean, your office has very kindly given us some background notes.
Some talking points.
No, they're not talking points. No. It's just background notes. It's just things that you've been attending. I mean, you've been You've been to the Glam Slam, I should say.
Oh,
the Glam
fantastic.
Slam.
You've been to the Australian Open. You've been to the meat market. You've been to some Harry Potter thing. And it just goes on and
the
on
meat
and
market.
On.
Oh, is that the one in North Melbourne or a nightclub?
So, I mean, do you find all that tiring?
I actually find that most of those sorts of activities are completely energising. Hmm. You know, you're learning something new, you're meeting new people, you're seeing how hard organisations and people are working in our community, and I find that exhilarating.
Yeah.
Last night at the meat market in North Melbourne, it's a conference actually over the next couple of days as well, talking about food and what's healthy for us as humans, but also how do we create a sustainable food system, because we're going to explode in terms of population. How are we going to actually feed 10 billion people, which is the world population? Those things are absolutely fascinating, and I feel that I'm being stimulated by all of that new information. When I went to the Glam Slam, and I was so pleased to be able to be involved, 175 competitors from 29 countries came to the Glam Slam. And a very good level of tennis. And to hear some of the stories from those people who have come from countries where you know, the way they are as a person is illegal.
Yes.
Or unaccepted. And for them to be able to come to Australia to a competition as part of the Australian Open.
Yes.
And compete and celebrate and be recognised and respected, it just gives me chills. I love it.
Yeah.
So mostly things are exhilarating. With Harry Potter, it was a really interesting conversation because we have Harry Potter exclusively here in Melbourne.
Mm.
And the numbers so far, it's actually booked out until December. We're hoping it's going to stay for years. So we're talking about the next wave. We want to engage more interstate people to come and see it. I haven't been yet, but apparently it's awesome and I can't wait to go. And what they're finding is there's a degree of cynicism about the fact, well, we'll wait a bit longer and they'll say that it's going to open in Sydney next Brisbane. But
no, it's not going to happen.
So we had a conversation about how do we give everybody a sense that it's permanent here in Melbourne. So we started talking about some design ideas around the theatre and the sorts of things that can add to the attraction but really give a sense of permanency here in Melbourne. And Michael Castle, who's the producer, outstanding Australian, and lots of great ideas. So that's the sort of discussion as well. How exciting. Mm. So I'm lucky in so many ways to be involved in those discussions.
That sounds like the fun part of the job.
Yes. We talked about the other stuff earlier.
Yes.
We started with that.
There was something that I wanted to talk about, and this has just reminded me.
Right.
We spoke last week briefly, and this was about wage justice. The award for Pizza Hut workers. The old one, the Fair Work Commission, has binned and put a new one in. So they're going to actually get penalty rates, etc. And, you know, the other story is there's a Melbourne cafe owner who's been underpaying workers and has quite a well-known, Claire Hu, H-U, built a bit of an empire. She built an empire by underpaying people. Think about it. She built an empire by underpaying people, not paying people their right wages. And you know what? I'm sick of this stuff. I'm sick of this. I've been watching the ACTU campaign, and some of the numbers of the people that are coming to those rallies all around Australia about wage justice. And I say to our federal politicians on every side of the fence, you need to actually understand this is a serious issue. You're worried about the Banking Royal Commission.
What would you like the mayor to do about that, Macca?
No, I'm just listening.
I know.
She's just listening. But, you know, enough is enough. People in this country are sick and tired of being ripped off by businesses and employers who have a right to make money. I have no problem with that. But if your business is based making a profit on not paying people, you know what? Crawl back under the rock from which you came. because you
Mac announced last week that he's going to become the wage champion.
No, it's about equity and it's about fairness.
It is.
We talk about equity and fairness in a whole other areas. I know
what you said, we disagree with Mac.
But, you know, we saw, you know, the Merivale Group in Sydney, you know, employ 3,000 people, you know, saying that, you know, this is going to, you know, this new wage deal is going to impact on their business. I mean, for God's sake. You know, you charge $13 for a Corona that I can buy in a shop for $6. Your costs aren't that high.
It's a twist of lemon.
Anyway.
But I hear what you're saying, and it's so interesting because last weekend with Australia Day, and there's, you know, a lot of debate, well, I think really healthy debate around Australia Day, but as I walked around town and went to lots of different events, one of the common themes was about, you know, what do we love about Australia? Fair.
Yeah.
It's a place where you can come and you can be treated
fairly. And then you get this
fairly.
Stuff, which is not fair.
And so we respond to it. Mm. And I think that's great. And, you know, I can hear your passion.
Melbourne University Press. We've seen during the week there that...
Oh, I think there's a story behind that one, Macca.
There's a story behind
it. What are you going to talk about in the second hour? I'm really worried. All your good materials coming right up front.
I think perhaps the CEO of the Melbourne University Press and the board, perhaps they committed a cardinal sin.
Ha, 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 ha.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Tess.
Macca, thank you. And I just want to acknowledge that we've had a message from one of our listeners, 558. You know who you are. Thank you very much. Keep them coming. We love hearing from you. And if you have any questions for us or any feedback for us, we always love to hear it. And I'm sure if there's a reasonable question for you, Sally, you might like to take it as well.
Absolutely, of course.
Sally, I had a funny experience during the week. We want to talk about parking and some of the funny things that do happen. But my parents, who are quite elderly, dad doesn't drive, mum does the driving. They have a disability permit, which they've managed to secure through their council for legitimate reasons. Mm. Dad's 91, mum's in her 80s. They won't be driving for much longer. But it's a means for them to get around. They'd been to see their doctor. They were pretty anxious about, you know, what had happened. They were stopped off to park the car to get their medication and pick up some things from the supermarket, forgot to put the parking permit on and ended up with a fine. Now, they were so distressed and unhappy about it. So I wrote to council and had a long, wrote a letter and I had a long conversation with an officer, and they did actually get released, which was really lovely. And I wrote back and acknowledged how thankful we were about that. I didn't expect that, to be quite honest.
Good on them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was lovely.
Well, that's a very valid reason, and sometimes tickets fall off dashboards or whatever. If you can show a valid ticket,
I did all of that.
That's fine, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And look, we get of all the fines that we give out, and there are a lot, over 300,000 every year. We have about 8% of people write back to us to go through a review process, and of those, about 50% are actually waived. So there is a system there, and it does work when it's for valid reasons.
So we've seen some...
there are some not-so-good reasons.
Yes,
we've seen some interesting ones here, and I'll some of the more odd reasons, I suppose, for the review team, one of them, catching Pokemon.
Well, it was quite a phenomenon, wasn't it, the Pokemon phenomenon?
Some would say they deserve to get a ticket for something else. Hair appointments?
Well, I understand that one.
Yeah?
Sometimes you're in there, come on, come with me, Fiona, and it takes longer than you think.
Yeah.
So I think you've just got to go to a zone that gives you plenty of time.
Oh, okay. So does that mean that those people whose hair appointments exceed their parking...
That we don't accept it as a valid, unfortunately.
So perhaps you should have a hair permit. Shopping for groceries for dinner parties and providing the receipts.
Oh, and the recipes.
And the recipes.
Yes. Oh, people are expansive in the reasons why, and very inventive as well. We do get people that send us photographs of the sign that they had been looking at, and they very creatively manipulate the numbers and things on the sign and send it back to us. Well, it's not hard to work those out pretty quickly. We did have the gentleman that had mysteriously put a piece of cheese over his parking ticket on the dashboard. We couldn't work that out. But nonetheless, he couldn't show us a valid ticket, so unfortunately we couldn't accept that. But I love the person that wrote and said, I have no idea why you gave me this fine. I hope it's not because I drive a convertible.
It was probably a
lesser. It's not. I can assure you.
It was probably a lesser brand. visiting the bathroom and providing us with very descriptive accounts.
Don't go there.
Okay.
What about the thin person that carried their drunk 90-kilo mate?
So I was taking my drunk friend inside. He weighs more than 95 kilos and I'm only 60 kilos. It's really hard for me to drop him on his bed.
Let's just say we couldn't find a valid reason to support that particular review.
Slice of cheese. Okay, we've had that one with a photo. I took my girlfriend's car in secret to buy a placeholder ring to propose to her. I was in a rush, stressed, and she doesn't know about the fine.
Does she know about the ring?
No. At that point, no. And he was so worried about her finding out with the fine, if it was reissued and all those sorts of things. That was very cute.
Now, I can tell you a story. A friend of mine...
Here we go.
Many years ago, and it was actually in the People's Republic of Moreland... Mm. Otherwise known as the City of Moreland, and he got a ticket, and I see that actually I think it might be the City of London or New South Wales. You're now going to get 10 minutes grace, so that if your parking expired at 1 p.m. the officer won't give you a ticket until 1:10. Anyway, this was in the People's Republic of Moreland. Let's say it was 2 o'clock. He'd paid for the meter until 2 o'clock and it was 2:02. And he got a ticket and took exception to this and wrote and said, look, you know, 2 minutes, you know, blah, blah. Anyway, they didn't let him off.
Mm.
So what he did sometime after that, and you wouldn't approve of this, he came back. He actually has a tow truck. And he came back and he pulled the sign out of the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, no, I don't approve of that.
Right?
Pulled That's the sign. Extreme.
I don't approve
pulled
of that.
Pulled the sign out of the ground so that until that sign was replaced, people could park there because it wasn't actually
signed.
But, of course, what they didn't
did
realise...
Did he feel better?
He did.
Right.
And that sign, and he's a tow truck, but that sign ended up in the foundations of someone's house when they poured the concrete. So in about 300 years' time or something, you know, when the archaeologists are digging around, they'll find this old Moreland sign.
But that's lacking sort of anger management or something. I don't see that as being acceptable. I'm sorry.
Look, we do allow a grace because sometimes something happens as you're going back to your car and you might miss it. But look, there are some key reasons that people get frustrated, and one of them was certainly something I wasn't aware of, so I thought I'd call it out this morning, and that is that on a lot of our parking spaces now we have sensors that say when you arrived. Now, if you sit in your car for 15 minutes waiting for your appointment and then you go and get the ticket and you come back and you think
I've been caught.
You get counted from the moment you stopped your car
there. I've been caught.
Right, so that is a really big one.
So what you do is you come out of the spot. And then when you just keep reversing in and out of it.
The way your mind works is...
No, that doesn't work,
Macca. Extraordinary.
No, it does. There needs to be a minute between.
Actually, if you are parked in an hour spot, you can't then go and put money back in for another
that's
hour.
Right.
You do need to move. So, look, there are reasons why we do this. It's such precious space, particularly on street parking. Our traders need to know that they're going to have all sorts of people coming through, or you have to give other people a chance to come and share that space. And so the way all the timings and the zonings are worked is really to maximise outcomes for everybody and to be able to share that very precious, those precious places. But 96% of the fines are basically valid. For 7 reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. The majority of them is that you've overstayed. The other one is you didn't buy a ticket in the first place. And then from there, it's parking in taxi zones, loading zones, disabled zones, which your parents experienced. No stopping zones. They're all zones where
there's a reason.
Special. Yeah, there's a reason for that. And so 96% of fines are issued basically on 7 reasons.
Well, I think it's fantastic that there is still a good level of street parking in the city of Melbourne. It's very important to have it. in the past there's been a discussion point that there should be less. I know it's expensive space and, you know, we need to make more room for pedestrians. But, you know, I appreciate the fact, you know, that there is street parking in the city of Melbourne, and some of it might only be 15 minutes or half an hour. A lot of the time that's all people need. They're picking something up or whatever. So I say good that there is, and, you know, the fact that...
It's a careful balance, all of this, though, isn't it? It's a careful balance.
And you have to keep rechecking in, yep.
And that's exactly right. Mm. There is no single solution or fix to this. Now, on a completely separate note, Sally, there was a massive piece on you in The Age today.
Yeah.
Did you think I was going to let that one go?
I haven't read it yet.
Oh, you haven't read it yet?
Oh. How did it go?
I thought it was pretty good, actually. One of our listeners, the gorgeous Melina, said that you've had a very interesting journey.
I have. I've had lots of ups and downs and roundabouts, so it was nice to share that with Honey, and she's a fantastic writer. She's a playwright as well, and we had a lovely conversation and a cup of tea, and she's produced something, and I'm sure it's written beautifully.
It is. I read it this morning over breakfast. And I thought, this is giving me lots of material to work with today. but all that aside, everybody can just go online and read it, or go and buy The Age and have a read. But my question to you is, how does it feel to open yourself up? Because a lot of it's very personal. You've talked about your health, you've talked about your family, you've talked about your experiences when you first moved into town. How does it really feel to make yourself so publicly open?
Well, it is scary because you are sharing information that people can also use against you in some way. But I've come to learn, and particularly during the campaign, that I'm better off sharing and helping people understand who I am and the experiences I've had and how they've made me the person I am today than holding back, because, as I said earlier, so many assumptions are made about you. And by sharing, it helps people understand me, but also hopefully it might help people who have gone through similar experiences feel confident enough to talk about them as well. When I talk about being sick, I was sick in 2006. You know, the emotion of that time still comes back to me very much. And they're just, you know, some of those life experiences that you go through. And thankfully for me, as I've said, and I'm sure Honey said, if she's got it in the article, that you know, it's the best cancer you can have, so very lucky. And you come out the other side, and it changed my direction in life dramatically. And I'm a better person for it.
You changed your career pathway as a result of your illness.
Yes.
And you ended up in the Committee of Melbourne.
Yes. I did. And I loved my time there. And it opened a whole new world to me, which was very much about government. Previous to that, I'd only ever seen government as a regulator. That's the sort of work I did in the private sector, was very much about the tax and ASIC and ASX listing rules and all sorts of regulation. But to see government work as an enabler of good things in our community, and to understand more about how policies are made, and to work with business contributing to those sorts of policies and programs, it started a very different journey, a sense of satisfaction professionally that I hadn't had before. It wasn't that I wasn't satisfied before, it was just a different sense of satisfaction. This is a big, broad agenda. It has ramifications beyond me and my organisation. It has ramifications right across the community, and I love being involved in those sorts of discussions and outcomes.
One of our listeners has just written in and said, I think it's wonderful that women leaders show that they're human beings as well.
Yeah.
Thank you for your feedback there. And she does go on to say that you are inspiring.
Thank you, Melina.
So this sort of goes back to the whole question of authenticity.
Yep.
Is it difficult to be authentic? Is it difficult to be yourself?
Well, I'm obviously finding it a lot easier. And one of the things, I grew up in a family where my parents really encouraged us to have a go. And when you grow up in that sort of environment where they're completely there to catch you if you fall, but you've got to have a go first, it does result in a lot of humiliating situations because having a go, you're really putting yourself out there. I can confidently say after much trying and the efforts of my father that I am never going to be a 100 metre champion sprinter, but I did try for a long time. But I think it builds up a resilience, I guess, is what you can say. And because I've done a lot of those things, I have become more comfortable with sharing. What was interesting about moving into this phase of my life is part of it was, you know, to help make sure people don't make assumptions. But the other part of it is that it seems people are genuinely interested.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing to get used to, because to sit down and talk about yourself for 2 hours, I had to say thanks to her at the end. It was amazing that somebody would sit there and listen to you talking about yourself. But people are interested, and that actually takes a little bit of getting used to as well.
It's the power of the personal story and the power of the lived experience.
Mm.
And I'm actually seeing a trend of the personal story sort of seeping into public policy making.
Yes. Mm.
And all of a sudden we're saying, okay, we've got the evidence, we've got the data, we know what the implications are, we've explored the options, but what's the impact on people? What is the lived experience, and how is that going to inform this bit of public policy making?
I
think
agree.
That's what it might be about.
I think that's really well put. And you make me think immediately of Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand.
Oh, yes.
She's coming here in March. We're so excited.
Oh,
we are part of...
Oh,
wouldn't it be great?
I'm in love with her.
She's doing one really big public event.
I've actually written to her and asked her to come on our show.
Oh, well, you should write to her again.
I will do that.
And she has just introduced this concept of actually measuring every policy with a well-being outcome.
Mm.
So that for all of the hard policies that come through that governments consider, what is the well-being factor of that, and how do we measure it? And from there, working through, and it goes exactly to the point.
So when I worked in government, when we put our policy proposals, we always did a financial impact statement, an environmental impact statement, a human rights impact assessment. Mm. And I always wanted there to be a health impact as well, health and well-being impact.
Mm.
It's great to see that somebody's actually developed that.
You were ahead of your time.
Well, I didn't do it. I didn't achieve it.
But the concept is really interesting, because so many of the issues that we are facing, and certainly that we are trying to deal with here in the city, are mental health issues, they're addiction issues, and they come from a sense of not being well and needing to care for these people to help them come back to that sense of well-being. So it's really important.
Well, the other thing that Ardern does is that she talks about kindness and compassion as being underlying core values on which you should actually think about the way in which your policies, you know, map out or roll out. I'm actually hearing that language creep into some of the public discourse more and more. Hugh McKay, for example, in his Australia Day address, talked about compassion and kindness.
Mm. I agree. It is coming in. And look, we need to make sure that we still have fantastic discipline around financials and those hard elements, because otherwise we're going to run ourselves into the ground. But the fact that we can overlay it with an understanding of actually what sort of impact will these policies have on people's well-being is a fantastic move forward if we keep going that way.
We need to take a little...
What's that message, Tess?
Message from 317. We love you, 317. 317 is probably our most...
Loyal
listener, and provides us with a lot of feedback and engagement. And they do say, good morning, Tess and Grumpy Macca. They love Jacinta. And Jacinta wants politics to be more empathetic, a gorgeous soul. Mm. Yes, I do agree. Tongue firmly planted in cheek.
So, it's Macca and Tass on Saturday Magazine. Tourism in Melbourne is really booming. So I know the hotel occupation rates are well over 80%, particularly the five-star accommodation is in heavy demand. You know, we've got Harry Potter. I always laugh at this, the Jayco Herald Sun bike tour. So Jayco's a caravan company, and caravans have probably done more to drive people on push bikes into off the side of the road on the main roads. They probably won't like that. We've got the Formula One Grand Prix, we've got Moomba, the Food and Wine Festival, the Comedy Festival. But recently you opened Midsummer.
Mm. which was fantastic.
Which is, I think, it set a attendance numbers this year at Carnival was like 260 odd thousand.
Oh, that's good. So it keeps increasing, yeah. Which is fantastic.
And of course, City of Melbourne's a proud sponsor.
Yes.
Carnival was attended by 100,000 people. Why is that festival important? City of Melbourne's a long time sponsor, but I know those sponsorships have to be renewed and engaged and worked out. Why is City of Melbourne? I mean, I like the fact they're a sponsor, but why?
Why? And we've got our Pride Network team will be in the march tomorrow, despite the heat. Got special hats to keep everyone cool, so that'll be fantastic. Well, obviously, we sponsor and support so many events and organisations around town, and Midsummer is one of our really big ones. And it's about respecting difference and valuing people for who they are. Mm. And at its core, that's just so essential in terms of the sort of activity and messages that we should be supporting. And that's what Midsummer does. It brings people together to really appreciate that we're all humans. And there's a great quote I actually used on the day. I'm sure you remember it, Tass. I'm just struggling. It's a Barack Obama quote, which is,
oh, yes.
Is something along the lines of, if we can respect and love each other for who we are, no matter what we look like and who we love, then we will all be more free.
Yeah, you did that very well.
Thank you.
You didn't need any help or notes for that.
And it's exactly that concept, because Midsummer is reminding us that there are all sorts of wonderful, wacky people that make up this community in Melbourne, and all of them have a fantastic contribution to play. And amongst all of the festivals that we have that showcase different talents and different interests, Midsummer is certainly right up there. And for those reasons and valuing inclusion. It's a really important carnival for us.
And you enjoy it? You enjoy participating?
I love it. Did you see me dancing?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
I do. I absolutely love it.
I saw you charging across.
I love how free you can be and really just to be yourself. And I make the most of it, because to me that's exactly what it's about, is the opportunity to be yourself and for everybody else to say, we appreciate the fact that you are being yourself.
Authenticity.
Mm. Now,
absolutely.
Tonight,
yes.
One of the, I think it's the Chinese New Year Festival, City of Melbourne, obviously, I support that very strongly.
Mm.
There's a lot of free entertainment. Of course, there's the Dragon Parade.
I love that.
Yeah, that's always good fun.
Yeah, and the Tucker. The Tucker's always good.
And all the drumming and fireworks.
Yeah.
Mm. Do we still have fireworks?
Yeah, it's the Lunar New Year celebrations kick off this evening. There are 2 weeks of celebrations around the city. We'll have another big thing next weekend in Chinatown, which is the big parade, and Little Bourke Street, which will be spectacular. And our Chinese community, I mean, one, they've been such an integral part of how this city and our country has developed over many decades and centuries now. And they really know how to bring celebrations together in a very loud and spectacular
way.
They
do, don't they?
So I'm really looking forward to tonight. We have the Prime Minister coming as well, and the opposition leader, and there'll be just a few speeches, because the main part of it are the Chinese bands, the dragons that I love. How they managed to create so much personality in those dragons.
I know.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
All the lanterns are out there along the Yarra on South Bank, and of course, lots of food.
The food's fantastic.
And dances as well. So it'll really be a fantastic event tonight. But as I said, it starts a program of events right across the city. And I know in Box Hill they're having really big celebrations today as well. And then next weekend we have the traditional parade in our Chinatown.
So
celebrating in Box Hill because Robert Clark had lost his suit.
He's always there with her.
Mac, if you haven't been to Box Hill for dinner lately, you need to do quickly.
I understand it. Sorry, I was just being political.
I had a hideous experience one night when I locked my keys in the boot of the car in the basement of Box Hill Hospital.
Wow.
I know, it was so annoying. you know, a new keyless car entry scheme. I opened the boot of the car, threw my jacket in, threw my bag in. My keys happened to be in the bag. Shut the boot. Went to unlock the passenger door. Couldn't get in.
Well, it's a fault with that actual key.
Yes.
Because
you
actually, the car should not allow itself to
Wrote to my car manufacturer, yes. And when I had my car serviced, the problem's been fixed.
Yes.
That aside, I had to spend an hour and a half in the foyer of Box Hill Hospital, which I didn't mind because I actually find hospitals very interesting, as you know.
He does. He lurks around them a lot.
Waiting for the car person to come and open up the car. And in the end, it was quicker to actually get my partner to jump in a cab with a spare key and come out to Box Hill and wait for the car person. And, of course, I was frustrated. I was cold. I was annoyed. I was angry with myself. And Ian said, let me buy you dinner in Box Hill. Well, I had no idea how good it could be.
It is. It's extraordinary.
It was fantastic.
Now, while we're on the
subject
of food, delicious. I want to cover this quickly.
Yes.
Pellegrini's and Sisto.
Oh, yeah.
So it's going to be a street party, and it's part of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. I think this is an awesome initiative.
Isn't it?
To recognise Sisto, to remember Sisto, and you know what he and everyone that works with him and his whole family, what they've contributed to Melbourne. I think it's wonderful.
Good. I agree.
I think it's wonderful.
And Anthea, who runs the Food and Wine Festival, has been the absolute champion of this. It is the closing event of the Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. It is in Crossley Lane and it is Sisto's Festival.
Yeah.
And when Anthea did the call out, and we're helping with some support and logistics as well, we went out to that part of the city, and it's so closely knit, the restaurateurs and the community there, that they all piled in, and it's going to be fantastic. But the sort of bad news, but it's good news, is that tickets sold out in 24 hours.
I know.
No.
Yeah. So it's going to be spectacular, and we'll take what happens in March this year, understand the good bits, how we can do bits better, and then we'll look to keeping improving it and hopefully being able to increase the number of people that can come along. But what a brilliant way to recognise Sisto, not just as one of the pioneers of our cafe culture here in Melbourne, but as somebody that provided the warmest of welcomes.
Everybody has a story about
Sisto.
Everybody has a story.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah. Look, I got to see Vicky and David this week when we did the launch, and Sisto's wife and son, and I described to them the last interaction I'd had with Sisto, and Vicky said, oh, that is so Sisto. So he has impacted lots of us in the most wonderful way. And Nino is going to be a big part from Pellegrini's of the festival as well, with the granitas and some other delicious things, but it'll be beautiful. And I hate to tease you all because I actually bought my ticket in plenty of time to be able to go.
And the other great part of this story is that a contribution will go towards a charity.
That's right. So $5 from every ticket goes to Brendan Nottle at the Salvos. They're directly across the road from Pellegrini's, and Brendan is a regular there, but Pellegrini's the team.
Brendan's a wonderful man, actually.
Oh, he's incredible. He really is.
Wonderful
man.
Yes,
but as an individual, he and Sandra, his wife, are part of the fabric of this city. I couldn't even imagine, you know, without them. The work that they do is quite amazing. And so it's wonderful that there will be a big contribution to the Salvos across the road there, so that they can continue their fabulous work for the homeless here in Melbourne.
Macca?
I think it's a great initiative. I'm glad to see it.
It'll be a fun day.
It'll be a fun day, good outcome.
And,
you know, this is Melbourne. This is what we love about the city of Melbourne. And the fact that, you know, I can imagine trying to do this in a lane in Sydney. Well, they don't have that many lanes left in Sydney. But trying to do this in a lane in Sydney, it would take about 4 years and 28 meetings. The fact is, City of Melbourne, and you know the way City of Melbourne works, They're flexible. They make this stuff happen.
Anthea really led the charge, and she's done a great job. But the other thing that happened is that everybody around there, the team from the European and the Supper Club and all the Florentino's team and the Beko, just to shout out a few, including an architect that's down that laneway that said, I'll do the design stuff for you.
Yeah. Oh,
they all came in and said, we will support it, and it will be fabulous and a wonderful tribute to a great man.
Sally, it's always great to have you in the studio.
Thank you. I can't believe how quickly the time's gone.
I'm going to hit the kitchen and grab my splice.
Oh, good. Yes, I did. I did bring icy poles. It's so hot.
Yes.
Thank you for those.
I bypass the coffees and enjoy.
What a treat.
My pleasure. It's always lovely to be here.
Now,
thank you for having me.
We have dates in our diary for Sally for each month. For the rest of the year, which is fantastic. So it's usually around the first Saturday of the month.
They may vary occasionally, but that's okay.
I don't want to miss out on your editorial.
It's not editorial, it's just it's real news.
It is. Very topical.
Sally, great to have you in the studio.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Look forward to seeing you soon.
Happy New Year. Enjoy the festivities tonight and have a great year.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.